I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we want to begin. And I just want to talk to you about living for Him who died for you. How many of you know that He died for you? Amen. And the Scripture, and we're going to read in a few moments, the Scripture talks about the idea that we're to live for the One who died for us. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's where we're going to start, and we're going to deal with some things in this as well. All right? Now, as we get into it, the Scripture that I have up on the screen, which will be here in a second, is not where we're going to begin. I'm going to emphasize that one, but I want you to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, look on with your neighbor or just follow along by listening. But I encourage you always to bring a Bible with you because it's so important that you get the Word of God in your heart. That's one great thing about children's ministry and Awana. The primary purpose is to get the Word of God in the hearts of the kids. Amen. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice what it says, beginning with verse 5. If you're there, say yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says this. Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed." That's speaking of what? Our earthly body, our physical body. "If it is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." How many of you know that when we depart from this life, man, that's not the end. That's the beginning of a whole new adventure. Amen? Amen. More than what we can fathom or even imagine in our minds. Going on with this, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent," the tent is referring again to our body, "groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." How many of you know that you are an immortal being? Did you know that? Your spirit is immortal. Your soul is immortal. And if you're born again, eventually you're going to get an immortal body. Isn't that good news? Amen? Amen. Right now we're in a mortal body. But when this mortal body dies, the day is coming when this body is going to be changed. Aren't you glad and looking forward to a changed body? Amen. In the twinkling of an eye, praise God, at that last trump, it's going to happen where this mortal will put on immortality and our bodies will be changed at that moment. But reading on with this in verse 5, it says, "Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." The Holy Spirit in us is our down payment or our guarantee that that immortal body will be ours. This old tent's going to die out. This old tent's going to disintegrate. How many of you are aging? Anybody besides me aging? But thank God, there's coming another day. And it says that the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is our down payment or our guarantee of that immortality that's coming. Then verse 6, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. For we are confident," verse 8, "yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So the moment you depart from your physical body, your mortal body right now, the moment you do, the Bible says if you're born again, if you've accepted Christ, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Man, I'll tell you, we need a revelation of that. Amen? And then notice, as he says that, notice what he goes on to say in verse 9. "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences." What's he saying here? He's saying that all of us as believers are here in our physical bodies in order to do a work. And that the day is coming when we appear before Him. We're going to appear, it's called in another place, the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to appear as believers before Him at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be judged, whether they be good or bad. And we're going to be rewarded accordingly. It's not a matter of heaven or hell, but it's a matter of rewards and fulfilling that plan that God has for us. The day will come, if Jesus tarries, if He doesn't come with His second coming, the rapture, before we die, our mortal body dies, then if we die in our mortality, then know this, that we're going to one day stand before Him and we're going to give account for the things that we did or the things we did not do. Is everybody with me here today? And so again, the idea that I want to convey to you is that God has something for all of us to do. How many of you know we're not called to be spectators in church? We're called to be doers. Isn't that right? And we so appreciate all that do things. We appreciate that so very much. And you know, no matter what we do, nothing is trivial in the sight of God. Everything we do as members of the body of Christ is vitally important in order to carry out the ultimate great commission that He has called us all to be a part of. Is everybody with me? Amen. As it reads further into this, notice it says in verse 12, it says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart." He's talking about some of these false teachers, Judaizers that would follow him around. It says in verse 13, "For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. For if we are of sound mind, it is for you." Notice now, verses 14 and 15, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died." How many of you know Jesus died as yours and my substitute? He died the death that you and I deserve to die, because the wages of sin is death. He died the death you and I deserve so that we could have eternal life. Isn't that great news? Now, as we read further into this, notice now verse 15, And he died for all. Why? "That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." And so He is saying very clearly, as all of you are well aware, that we who have committed our lives to Christ, we that now have the life of God within this mortal body, and while we're in this physical earth, that we are to live for Him who died for us. And that means doing our part, whatever that part looks like. And as I said, there is no trivial part for us to do. Amen? And so if I was to title this message, and it's not going to be a long message, I didn't think I'd have a whole lot of time, so I don't have a long message for you, and so just bear with me. But if we were to title this, it would be "Living for Him Who Died for Us." Notice what Ephesians 4 and 16 says from the New Living Translation. It says, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly." Now remember, the body now, in this context, is not talking about a physical body. It's talking about a metaphor concerning the church of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians, at another place, it says, "the church which is His body." In other words, the metaphor of the human body is used to describe what the church is about. And like a human body has many parts to it, the church, the body of Christ, if you will, has many parts to it as well. And as I've already stated, in different terms, the members have different functions, different parts to play, but none of them are more important than the other. Now, certain ones have more responsibility than the others. Just like the human body. How many of you know my heart? I need my heart a whole lot more than I need my little toe in order to live. Isn't that right? But how many of you know I value my little toe too? Isn't that right? And so again, more, you know, different parts have different responsibilities and what have you, but all are important in the sight of God, and all should be important to other members of the body. Amen? And so it says that He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. Notice that phrase. As each part of the body does its own special work. Every part of the body, therefore, has its own special work, doesn't it? And then reading on with this, it helps the other parts grow. In other words, in the context, if each part does its own special work, as we're doing that, then it helps the other parts grow. See, all of us helping the other parts of the body grow when we're doing the parts that we're supposed to do. Isn't that right? Is everybody with me? Amen? And so no matter what we do, whether it's, cleaning the sanctuary, whether it's, sweeping the sidewalk, whether it's planting plants, whether it's making coffee, thank God for those that make coffee. Amen. Amen. And cleaning up the coffee as well. Thank God for everything, because you know what? All of that contributes to us accomplishing what we want to accomplish as we gather together. And gathering together is part of the plan of God. Amen? "Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together," as Hebrews says in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Now, going on with this now, it says, again, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. How about you? I think that's a powerful verse, don't you? Amen. So that we're all healthy and we're growing and we're full of the love of God. You see, since COVID especially, that a lot of believers out there, a lot of scattered sheep out there who have decided, you know what, I like just staying home in my PJs and drinking coffee and watching church online. But how many of you know you're going to hinder your growth? Of course, I'm preaching in the proverbial choir right now because you're here. Amen. But for those that watch later, some people are going to watch this YouTube message and they're going to hear me say that and they're going to choke on their coffee in their pajamas. All right. But nevertheless, you know, God's called us together. You're going to limit your growth. How many of you know that it helps us to be together to help us grow in our love for one another? If you're married, or even if you were dating or whatever, or anything, any kind of situation where you have a friendship with somebody else, how many of you know that in order to grow, you got to rub elbows with people? Because they'll rub you the wrong way. Amen? I mean, let me tell you something. I have never rubbed my wife the wrong way, but boy, has she ever rubbed me the wrong way a few times. I just did, didn't I? All right. I just rubbed her the wrong way. But you know, again, as we converse, as we do things together, work together, we grow in our love for one another and our appreciation for one another. And sometimes, you know, we've got to have some resistance in order to grow. If you're going to have resistance in your muscles, if your muscles are going to grow, how many of you know that you got to have resistance? Resistance will cause growth, amen, spiritually speaking as well. And so going on with this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to, for time's sake, give this to you. And I don't normally do this from this translation, but I want you to see it up on the screen because it does bring it down to understandable terms. It's from the Passion Translation, and it's not truly a translation. That's one of the things people criticize about the Passion Translation is it calls itself a translation. It's not a translation. It is more of a paraphrase, but yet we can learn a lot of things from it in terms of understanding some things a little bit better. Amen? We wouldn't make any paraphrase. And if you wonder what those are, you can always ask me. But there's several different paraphrases. Then there's translations. But any paraphrase, like the Living Bible, you know, and the Message Bible, and this Passion Translation, and the CEV, Contemporary English Version, and there's others. Any of those, you know, you don't take those as your final authority of Scripture. But you can use them in order to maybe help you in understanding. Sometimes they're good at it, sometimes they're not. In fact, even the Amplified Bible, which I refer to a lot, is really a paraphrase. And so, you know, it's very wordy. It does help sometimes. And so we use it sometimes. I use it with the mindset, well, it's kind of like a commentary. I mean, you know, a commentary isn't something that's equal to Scripture. Isn't that right? And so it helps us, though. But notice now, from the Passion Translation, it reads this way. Hopefully that's not too small for you. It reads this way. Just as the human body is one. Paul continues in this metaphor of the body, comparing it to the body of Christ. Just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. So he's making it very clear that he's using the physical body to show forth truths concerning Christ. For by one Spirit we all were immersed and mingled into one single body. And no matter our status, whether we are Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. In fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. So if the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it's forgetting that it still is a vital part of the body. And if the ear were to say, since I'm not an eye, I'm not really part of the body, it's forgetting that it is still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could it hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could it smell different fragrances? What's he say? I think it's pretty clear. How many of you know of everything, every part of the body, we've said it, but he's making it even clearer, every part is important. And every part's got different functions. Now, if the body was just one big eyeball just rolling down the aisle, they'd be able to see, okay, but, you know, they wouldn't be able to hear is the point that he's making here. Isn't that right? And then on the other hand, we need to be able to hear. We need to be able to see. We need to be able to touch. We need to be able to speak. We need to be able to do many different things. And every part of the body is important. And as it goes on with this, it even makes it even clearer. Notice now, it says, but God has carefully designed each member, placed it in the body to function as he desires. How many of you know that we don't choose what our function is? You know, I never wanted to be a preacher. I never even liked preachers. I still don't like a lot of preachers, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, I never wanted to be a preacher. I was kind of a shy, introverted guy. You know, I just wanted to be in the woods and fish and hunt and all that kind of thing. I just wanted to be in the woods. Nothing wrong with that. I like the woods. But how many of you know you got to do what God's called you to do? Isn't that right? And sometimes we've got to stretch ourselves by the power of God, stretch ourselves. Some of you might be thinking, well, I don't have the ability to do this, that, or the other thing. Oh, no. You know, you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of shy. I'm kind of introverted. I'm not equipped to do this, that, or the other thing. But, you know, sometimes you've got to stretch yourself and do that which you cannot do in the natural. And if you'll stretch yourself and do what you cannot do in the natural, how many of you know God will empower you? If He's in it, God will empower you to do what you cannot do. And every Sunday morning, when I get up here on this stage, I am doing something that I cannot do, and I recognize and acknowledge it's only by the grace of Almighty God. And so sometimes people have this notion, well, you know, Pastor, you do it because that's, you know, that's how, you know, you're made. You're made, that's how your makeup is, that you could do that kind of thing. That's how God made you. Let me tell you something. It's not natural for me to speak in front of people. It's not natural for me to do half the things I do. But how many of you know that we're supposed to be people of the supernatural, not just the natural? Is everybody here? And you know, I often think there's another passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians, first chapter, I think it is, maybe the second chapter, where it says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And man, I've often thought, man, that describes me right there. He chooses the foolish people to confound the wise. Is everybody all right here today? Amen. And then, therefore, who gets the glory? Only He does. Amen. For whatever's accomplished for Him. But again, notice now, as we read on, but God has carefully designed each member and placed it in the body to function as He desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of one single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but one body. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you. And equally wrong if the head said to the foot, I don't need you. So what's it saying? It's saying we need each other. Isn't that right? It says again, it says in this now, it says, let's just look at this now. See now, we see the highlighted part, that there are many differing parts and functions but one body. And then this part about, you know, the foot or the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And then it says the head can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Now, when you think about the body of Christ, who's the head of the body of Christ? Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, and the head, therefore, needs you. Isn't that right? Now, I've given this description before when I've taught along this line in this passage, but it bears repetition. You know, sometimes, you know, we think of those parts of the body of Christ that are more, you know, apparent or more, you know, expressive or more well-seen or whatever. And, you know, the preacher or whoever it might be, you know, oh, you know, they've got, they're seen, you know, they're kind of, you know, I'm the mouth, right, you could say, or one of the mouths. But you know what, how many of you know that without the feet, the mouth goes nowhere? And not only that, but, you know, we might nurture, you know, women especially, you know, they put makeup on their face. You know, they try to make their face look better. And all the nurturing, you know, the ears get little dangles on their ears. And some of the men do too, but that's not my generation. Not where I grew up anyway. All right. But anyway, she says, yes, it is. Yeah. All right. Be quiet on the front row. All right. But anyway. But, you know, the feet, they don't get as much attention. You know, some of the ladies, you know, open-toed shoes and everything. But, you know, the feet bear the weight in so many ways of the body. Isn't that right? Some of our feet bear more weight than other parts of our, other people, all right? But anyway, our feet bears, you know, a lot of the weight, a lot of responsibility. Without the feet, we don't travel very far. Are you hear what I'm saying? We don't pay, most people, you know, they don't pay much attention to other people's feet. The feet go unnoticed for the most part. When you talk to somebody, you're not supposed to look at their feet. You're supposed to look them in the eye. Isn't that right? Does everybody hear what I'm saying? But oh, how important the feet are. How about the hidden parts of the body, like the liver and the kidneys and the heart? Oh, they don't get a lot of attention. People don't pay a lot of attention to them. They're not out there being displayed in any way or whatever. But I'll tell you, those hidden gifts is what I'm getting at. Those hidden parts are vitally important to the body of Christ. Those of you that may feel, well, I'm unnoticed, but yet you're so essential for the body to be all that God's called it to be. Is this making sense to you today? And so again, no part is trivial. No part goes without being important in the body of Christ, whether you're seen, unseen, or something else. As it reads on in this, it says this: in fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential they are. The body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect. And the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and clothe them. But some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser, quote-unquote, lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern, and so that there will be no division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the Anointed One, and each of you is a unique and vital part of it. And so again, this idea that each of us are unique and vital, a part of the Anointed One. That Anointed One, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now in Philippians, and I'm going to end in just a couple of minutes here. Another half hour will be done. See if you're paying attention. I'm going to be done a lot less than half an hour because we want to pray for people. Notice Philippians 1:27, CEV. Above all else, you must live in a way that brings honor to the good news about Christ. Then, whether I visit you or not, I will hear that all of you think alike. I will know that you are working together and are struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. And so, you know, again, that's part of our mission as a body, a local body of believers, is to work together in order to spread the good news. Amen? Amen. And so what I want to do, first of all, is I would like any that are here today, as we wrap this up, if you're here and you are part of the volunteer serving here at the church, no matter what it is, if you're scheduled in any way, that would include Awana. Awana has a schedule. Every area of ministry that you, if you're a part of that, I'd like to invite you to come. We're starting a new school year. In a way, it's kind of a new season. And so we're going to pray for all of the workers in this church right now that are in here. I know some are not right now, but we'll get them covered one way or the other. And so let's all stand. And if you're serving in any capacity here in that sense, in that definition, I want to pray for you. We want to lay hands on you. We want to pray for you. And believe God, again, as we start this new season, this fall season and going forward, and also for those, in fact, let's include this. Even if you're not scheduled normally, but yet you have volunteered for the Hamburg Street Festival, let's pray for you as well, all right? Let's pray for you as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Father God, we pray for those that are serving in kids' church, Little Lights, and nursery right now, wherever else, lobby, any ushers there, anywhere else in this building. We pray blessing. We pray encouragement. We pray, Father God, for increase in every godly thing. And Father God, we just trust you that we're coming up higher in every area as every part does their share. Father God, we believe, Father God, that the body will grow and in love and in service and in every way, so that when it's all said and done, we stand before you one day. You're going to say to each and every one of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, Father. We thank and believe and trust you for that in the name of Jesus. Let's all stay in an attitude of reverence. We never want to end a service without giving this opportunity. We never want to take for granted that everybody in this place has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There could be even one or more, but even just one soul is important. And so we never want to take it for granted. And so if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure that if you were to breathe your last breath or that your heart would stop, that you'd be in the presence of God, you're not sure that you're forgiven of your sin, the Bible says you can be sure, because the Bible says it's for by grace we are saved through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. What that means is you can't earn your way to salvation. You receive that gift of eternal life by receiving what Christ has done. He who died for you. Because he died for you, you and I died, and we receive that, accept that, and receive him as our Lord and Savior. And so if you're here today, lest there even be one here today, and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't go another day without receiving him, because tomorrow could be too late. So if you just lift your hand up high, we're all going to pray together. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm
I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come forward or anything else. But if you've never accepted Christ, let's all pray this prayer. Anybody at all? I don't see any hands. So let's all just pray this for the sake of those that might watch later. This is in line with Romans 10, 9 and 10. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus died for me so that I could have life. Today, I turn from sin and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I believe with all my heart that He not only died, but after 3 days and 3 nights, He rose again and He's alive. So come into my life today. And Lord, with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God thanks, shall we? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are 3 ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.